You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio, and I'm Cynthia Canty. Survivors of sexual assault in Michigan will have new rights completely in place by September 30th. The Sexual Assault Victims Access to Justice Act requires police agencies to tell survivors exactly how they can get help and support, where the survivor can get free medical care and testing, and do all of this within 24 hours after the first contact with the survivor. Gail Krieger is a staff attorney with the Michigan Domestic and Sexual Violence Prevention and Treatment Board. Gail, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Tell us, why is this law needed?
I think for any crime victim, it's important to know what your rights are. And most of us don't know or think about that until we actually become a victim of crime. So this notice within 24 hours of that first contact with law enforcement, it's a really critical point in time when we can get information to sexual assault victims about what their rights and options are. That, you know, they may have been out there for a while, but people just don't think about knowing what's available in the community in terms of resources and rights.
Boy, that is the truth. I mean, it's not anything you want to even let enter your mind, but then once you become a crime victim, sexual assault, it happens to you, you're just looking for any kind of direction and help. And I'm wondering, how does this act do that? How does it direct and help and strengthen programs and laws that have already been in place for sexual assault survivors in our state?
Yes. First, I want to say there have been crime victim rights laws on the books for a long time. And one of the things I'm really proud of in Michigan is the legislature and the governor's office have been working really hard in the last couple of years, kind of beefing up some of the protections that are in place for sexual assault victims. So this act kind of closes the gap and makes sure that sexual assault victims are kind of aware of some of the new things that are in place for them. For example, probably about 5 years ago, the legislature passed a law that allows sexual assault victims to have a forensic medical exam, and they can't be billed for it, and they don't have to talk to law enforcement in order to get a forensic medical exam. Now, for sexual assault victims, this is really important because a lot of times in the aftermath of an assault, they don't know what they want to do. They don't know if they want to talk to law enforcement or who they want to share this information with. So it's really important that they can go in and get an exam and actually get evidence collected in that critical window after the assault took place and not have to make some of those big decisions. And this law actually puts in place, survivors are told in the aftermath of an assault that you can get an exam. You can get that exam whether or not you want to participate with the criminal justice process long term. And this is where you can get that exam, and this is how you get those services. So it's a really important piece of legislation to kind of close the gap and make sure we're getting up-to-date and good information to victims.
Gail, is this type of information and handling, is it already common practice, or will this law significantly change what law enforcement does compared to how they've operated in the past?
I think it's been a mixed bag across the state. There are lots of departments who make this kind of information freely available already and probably would have told victims about this. But other places, I think this provides the incentive to do that. Part of the law was also providing resources and making it easier for law enforcement departments to update their victim notice cards and make sure victims are getting this type of information. So I think it will make a big difference in some communities.
Was this Sexual Assault Victims Access to Justice Act partly a response to the huge headlines about the abandoned rape test kits that were found in Detroit?
Absolutely. I think that was a piece of it. I mean, another thing that the act does that I didn't mention is it allows victims to call the law enforcement department and ask about the status of their kit testing results. They have the right to call and say, where is my kit in the process, and what is the results of forensic evidence testing? And a piece of that, the state's done a lot of things. There's a law in place now, the Sexual Assault Kit Submission Act, that makes sure that all kits that are released by victims are submitted for testing at the crime lab. And one of the things is we were thinking through, how did we get here? Where did this problem come from? There's systems answers to that, but one of the answers is giving victims insight into their own case. So if it hasn't been tested or something's going wrong in the system, the victim can actually call and find out where the kit is in the system and whether or not it's been tested and what the testing results are.
Keeping that communication going. What's being done, to the best of your knowledge, to educate, both law enforcement but also future survivors about this new legislation?
You know, pieces of what we're doing is letting victims know in the aftermath of an assault, like I said, what their rights are. And we put this information, there are programs across the state, sexual assault and domestic violence programs, that do all sorts of media campaigns and work within their own community to make the community aware about it. And, you know, education programs go on in high schools across the state. So I think all of that stuff is happening. Our board has made a really good effort in working with law enforcement and with the Michigan Commission on Law Enforcement Standards and the state police and getting information out there to law enforcement about some of the new laws and rights that are in place for victims.
Gail, what are your personal hopes for this new law and really what it could mean for sexual assault survivors in Michigan, how they can best use this law?
My personal hopes are that victims really get the information they need to feel like something's being done on their case and that they have a good experience with law enforcement. I think we have so many great law enforcement officers in the state who really care about victims. And I hope this helps close the gap so sexual assault victims can really feel that, you know, the state is on their side.
What comes next? What do you hope will be the next big way and important way that the state can support survivors of sexual violence?
You know, next for the state that we've always continued to work on is training for law enforcement and prosecutors, making sure we can get as much training out there into the field on how to respond to sexual assault victims. There's been some really great national work done, a Start by Believing campaign about how important it is and those first interactions with victims to start by believing what the victim is telling you. Work with that victim, show an empathetic response, have a trauma-informed understanding of sexual assault. That's been a big buzzword that's out there. And I think lots of law enforcement officers, when they get this training, and prosecutors too, when they get training on this, it really helps them feel like they can do a better job. One of the challenges with that is our criminal justice system is so overstressed, particularly with the recent recession. Officers don't necessarily have the time to take off of their jobs to go to a two-day-long training on sexual assault. But I know from experience of having gone out there and provided training and done stuff, officers are really excited, and criminal justice professionals are really excited to learn how to respond to victims in ways that are helpful.
I'm wondering, what has drawn you and kept you in this work with domestic and sexual violence survivors?
I think I started doing this work when I was young, out of college, and I've always really, really enjoyed it and loved it. And I work for now with the Michigan Domestic and Sexual Violence Prevention and Treatment Board, which is a governor-appointed board, and we work both on domestic violence and sexual assault. And it's been really exciting to work for a governor and for an office that really cares about these issues. And sometimes I feel like I get paid to do work I really care about. Like, it doesn't get any better than that.
What is it about these survivors that makes you care?
Working with survivors, I see such a passion every day from victims that I work with about making sure what happened to them doesn't happen to someone else. Sometimes I have victims who've had great experiences with the criminal justice system afterwards, and they had just a great response from the community. And I want to figure out ways that, you know, we can replicate that. And then other victims who had a harder time, and they want to make things better for the people that come after them. So I just get really inspired by the victims I've had a chance to work with who are committed to making the world a better place for other people who come behind them.
Gail Krieger is a staff attorney with the Michigan Domestic and Sexual Violence Prevention and Treatment Board, and all elements of the Sexual Assault Victims Access to Justice Act will be in place in Michigan by September 30th. Gail, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Cynthia.